Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church of Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any other popular podcast platforms. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon called Invitation to Hope. It comes from Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5.
This morning, start a series, going to start an emphasis called The People of Hope. I found it as helpful for us to start in the fall with a particular focus. Well, last year we had the theme of beloved, the path of the beloved. This year it's going to be People of Hope. I find that helpful to focus our attention, but that's not why I'm talking about hope. I think hope is one of those great words, faith, hope, and love, one of the big three in the Christian faith. It's a good word, but that's not why I want to talk about hope and becoming the people of hope. I want to talk about what it means to become the people of hope because I believe hope is absolutely essential to our life. And without it, we perish. Without it, we flounder. And the one thing that I've noticed throughout the last 20 months since the pandemic began, and as we carry on through, but even before, as I look at headlines, as I talk to people, it strikes me that the one thing is that people need hope. And this world desperately needs people of hope. Hope is not an add-on. Hope is not a nice thing. Hope is not just so something for the optimists among us. Hope is the essential foundation upon which we live. We don't have hope, we lose life. Here's how one person said it. Jürgen Moltmann, in his wonderful book called The Theology of Hope, I read this somewhere in college or in the beginning of seminary, and it was, if I had to pick one of those seminal books that changed my life, this would be it. And this passage, when I read it for the first time, it was like the lights just went on and all kinds of things. To live without hope is to cease to live. Hell is hopelessness. It's no accident that above Dante's hell is the inscription, "Abandon hope, all you who enter." Where there is no hope, it is hell. And we see that played out in all the miniature versions every day. There's cracks in our life, and there's cracks in, to the degree that people abandon hope, we abandon life. Watch the numbers that have gone up just in the last 20 months for violence. Watch the numbers that have gone up for suicide. Watch the numbers that have gone up for at-risk behaviors. And it's not as simplistic as saying one-to-one, but there is something about hope that is, in the parlance of today, that's part of our immune system. And when that is compromised, when that part of our society and our part of our heart and our soul isn't there, we are more susceptible to things of despair. We are more susceptible to the things that destroy. And hope is so essential that if we don't have a big enough hope, a hope that's in something larger, we will find and invest our hopes in the smaller things. The things that we can control. The things that become more and more tribal, that become more and more polarizing, and become more and more intolerant. Because this is what we can hang on to, and we have to find something to hope in, because the alternative is too hard to think about. We need hope, and this world is in desperate need of people of hope. It's true for life, and it's true for our faith. At the heart of Christianity is hope. Faith, hope, and love, one of the big three. Love may be the greatest, but of all the misunderstood, that would have to be hope. If there's anything that we could do to reclaim something that's going to help us live and to live well and to flourish, it would then have to be hope. Here's how it's even just a short version of it in Hebrews, where it says, hope is the anchor for our soul. It grounds us. It keeps us in the midst of the storms. The thing about hope, however, is it's not just grounded in what has been, the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. It is also anchored in what is yet to be, and that's what our passage is about. It anchors itself in the future as much as it does in the past. And that's what keeps us going, and that's what keeps us moving. Cindy read this passage out of Revelation, and if you are among the majority of people, when you heard, oh, we're going to do something out of Revelation, I'll bet you said, not Revelation. Because that is a book that has been so misunderstood and has been so misinterpreted, and people have made a lot of money on doing just that, to the point that sometimes we say, oh, I just don't, there's nothing there, I don't even want to go there, to our own peril, because at the base of this book that was written for a very specific situation and yet has reverberation throughout, this is a book about hope. And in the midst of that passage, there is this wonderful piece of this image of this tree of life on the side of the river of life that flows from the very presence and the reign of God. Now there is this tree, and people who are familiar with the scriptures will likely think of the tree of life. Where did I? Oh, yeah, that's way back in the Garden of Eden. That's what was separated off. That's what was banned. And so now the thing that's going to bring healing and hope and joy is here once again. It's not gone forever. It's in front of us. And this lovely imagery of, you know, every month there's a new fruit. It's always in season. And the leaves, the very leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. This incredible picture of this is what God has done. This is what's already out there. This is what we get to live into. To the point that even now, all the confusion, and particularly when this was written, there was so much confusion, so much darkness, so much chaos, so much violence, and to be able to say, listen, all of that's real, but it's only provisional. All of that's real, but it doesn't last. Here's where all this going, that the darkness that around us is real, but it will someday be swallowed up in light. The violence will be swallowed up in peace. Injustice will be swallowed up by justice. God gets the last word, and it's this image of the tree of life. I carry this on my keychain, the same thing. I have a picture of this and hanging in my office. This is such a compelling image for so many of us. That there is something about this tree and all that it represents. To say, this is our future. This is what we are anchored to. And when we invest our trust and we live into the reality of the living Christ, sin, sickness, and death have been overcome. We are saying we are anchored to our hope, which is the very life of Christ and the life of God that God has made possible. And so when hope is present, our lives are determined not just by our past. They are shaped even more by what is yet to be. We know our lives are shaped by our past, our DNA and our culture and our families of origin and the places we live. We know we are a product of our past, but the good news of Scripture is, and the good news of hope is that we are also shaped by who we are becoming and who we are yet to become because of what Christ has done. That's hope. This is not, as it sometimes has been done, as an escape from this world. You know, the old sweet by and by and all those other things, as if I could just escape and go around the suffering. This is what takes shape as we engage with our world. This is the power of hope. People need hope. The world desperately needs people of hope. And I got to thinking, it is not unlike, this power of hope is not unlike an invitation. Oops. An invitation, you know that. Well, that's a strange invitation. You know that the power of an invitation is not just that it points to what's going to happen, but it begins to do something to you right in the midst, right in the present. If you get an invitation to a dance, a party, somebody says, hey, I want to invite you to the game. You want to come? So the power of an invitation is not just that you begin to imagine, oh, wouldn't that be good? It's what it begins to do to you right now as you begin to shape. It begins to shift how you see yourself, the things you need to do. What do I need to do with my schedule? When you get an invitation to a job, when you get an invitation to a college, when you get an invitation to anything in life that is big and is evocative, the power of an invitation is it is a message back and says, hey, let today and who you are today start to be shaped by what could be. That's a little bit what hope is. Here's an invitation. What if you had gotten one of these in the mail? What if you had been one of those four people who had got an invitation to be the first of the four civilian astronauts to go up into space for 3 days and to be the first? What if you got to be one of those four people and you get the invitation? Would that not, if you said yes, would that not be the thing that begins to shape your schedule? You begin to clear your calendar. It changed the way you live, changed the way you eat, changed the way you sleep. It would change the way you think about yourself. That is my best metaphor for hope. Hope is an invitation from the future. And it engages us not only for what can be, but it starts to affect who we are and how we live right now. It often comes in the form of a sort of a nevertheless. Hope comes as an invitation when we are faced with things like fear. And nevertheless, we choose to be courageous. Why? Because courageous is a good thing? Sure. But it is because, at its core, it's because we believe that there is something in which to take heart. There is something, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ has changed the world. And so now I can be courageous. Now I can be forgiving. Now I can be compassionate. Now I can be generous. Because there is a tree that is the healing of the nations. Because that is the reality. I want to align my life with that. That's the power of the invitation of hope. And it comes and it nudges us. It moves us from indifference that might be explainable by all the problems around us. And it moves us into self-sacrificing love. From exclusion, which is safer, to inclusion, which is riskier. Why? Because it's the healing of the nations that are represented there. And all the nations are gathered. That's the reality. That's what's in front of us. So that's what we give our life to, because that's what lasts. And that's what we invest ourselves in. How have you heard the invitation? How have you heard that invitation maybe in this last week? Where have you felt the nudge to do the nevertheless? To go beyond what is comfortable, to do the nevertheless, to do something that is of life, that is of healing, that is of joy, that is investing in others, that is of compassion. Where have you heard that? And maybe the question is, how do I hear that better? How do I hear the genuine invitation that God is bringing, that God is trying to know? How do I do that? Prayer is one of those things that we find important. Always has been. And from our everyday spirituality team, Leslie has put together this abiding prayer as a way of attuning ourselves to the invitation, or she calls them the holy appearances of the invitation to hope.
The invitation of hope entails making room for holy appearances. Laying aside old patterns that mask the inner voice. It means not walking away from hope or letting distractions interfere with the voice of the divine. The holy gift of hope generates from within and transcends outward circumstances and conditions. In the words of Cynthia Bourgeau, it is all too easy to understate and miss that hope is not intended to be an extraordinary infusion, but an abiding state of being. How does one go about attaining this state of dwelling in hope? It is attained one breath at a time. Breathing in curiosity and exhaling certainty. Inhaling the knowledge that you are enough in mind, body, and spirit. Letting go of comparisons, false expectations, and illusions of the ego. Inviting love and releasing fear. Absorbing contentment in the moment. Loosening resistance and rigid attitudes. Breathing in inclusion and sense of oneness. Releasing bias and judgments of ourselves and others. You are invited to just sit quietly with your breath, breathing in what you need and exhaling what you need to release. As you soften your focus on the breath, may this time leave you refreshed, a vessel of hope, and a blessing in every moment.
There is this abiding state of being. Hope is not something we have to attain. It's already here. It is already, the foundation is here. It is awakening to what God has done. It is awakening to the invitation that has your name and my name on it. It is saying yes to becoming a person of hope. The hope to the future that God has made possible. Here's the thing about invitations, though. They need an RSVP. If somebody says, hey, you want to go to the game today? You can live in the invitation of it, but if you never respond, the hope is wasted. You can be invited to the dance. You can be invited to the job. You can be invited to the college. You can be invited to all those things, but if you never say yes to it, if you just leave it on the table, then hope is really nothing more than just wishful thinking. And even as hope is not an escape, it is definitely not just wishful thinking. It is an invitation to a different way of life. If you can imagine, how did those four people get to be these four people? How did they get to be up in space? It was because each one of them in their own way said yes. Each of them did the work. Each of them took that path. Each of them shaped their life around it. The invitation didn't just sit on their table. It became an active, living hope that drew them into the future that was waiting for them. Our job is to say yes. Now, there's going to be a number of things that we are going to cover over these next few weeks. I want to unpack this, and there's a lot of ways that we say yes. I'll explain a couple of them at the end of the service today. But the first thing I want to do today is just to say there is an invitation with that strange print on it again. There is an invitation to hope. And it has your name on it. It has my name on it. And the question, not only can you hear it, And not only what are you going to do with it, the real question is underneath, is it true? Is this thing that's rumbling that says, I want to be generous because I think that's important, is it true? Is it based on, I want to be courageous because I somehow think that's what this world is about. I want to hang in there because it's good to do that. Is it just good for its own sake, or is there really something there? Andrew Greeley is an author, he's a priest, and he has his quote that I have used every year when we've done, for the 20 plus years that we've done the Grief in the Holidays workshop. And it's about hope. And it's about that resilience. It's about that buoyancy that won't let us go no matter what. And he raises the question when he says this. He says, we may rationally reject the hope and the confidence. There's good reasons to rationally reject all of that. It may well be a deception. It may be the last trick. It may be the ultimate deception of a vindictive, cruel, and arbitrary universe. It is possible, is it not, that thing that wells up in us and says, keep going, that says to give yourself away, it could be something that has nothing to do with anything, and it could be just a leftover piece of evolution that needs to go away. Or the decisive religious question, perhaps the only religious question that really matters, is whether that hope, which is at the center of our personality, is a cruel deception, or whether it is a hint, an explanation, a rumor of angels, the best insight we have into what human life is all about. If it is a cruel deception, then we should reject it. We should walk away. We should go give ourselves to something that's real. But if this is really an invitation from the future, if this is something that has our name on it, that's connected to something that is even more real than our day-to-day existence, if this is something that can speak into the day and recognize all the problems and the sufferings and say, but that's provisional. Live in this in such a way that aligns with what is yet to be. If it is that, and there really is a that that's there, don't you think we should give ourselves to that? Don't you think we should unpack that a little bit? Don't you think we should discover what that means for us and for our life? There is an invitation, and it is the invitation of hope. It is the invitation to what God has made possible. Hope is an invitation to the future, and it comes every day. My guess is it's come 3 or 4 times already just this morning. Hope is an invitation from the future, and it demands a response. And our RSVP is the way we live every day, beginning today. Would you join me in prayer? We may have lost our way, oh God. We may have lost our hearing. We may have lost our sense of how we are connected and to whom. But to whatever degree today, to whatever degree there is something that's rumbling inside of us and says, hey, this has your name on it, pay attention. To whatever degree that is, give us then the courage and the faith to say yes. Yeah, I want to know more about that. Restore. Restore that connection that fills us up. When there are cracks in our life and in our world that drain us out, renew us and redirect us. That we might discover again the hope, not that something we have to attain, but as an aspect of your very life, something that we get to accept through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Before we go, I want to just talk about next steps, because next steps are always a part of a worship service. When we come, we should, when we come into worship and open ourselves up, there ought to be a sense of direction. There ought to be a sense of encouragement. There ought to be a sense of what does saying yes to God going to mean to me this week. And along this line of this becoming a people of hope, there's a couple ways. One is saying yes, and to the degree that you were able to help in that prayer and to say, yeah, this has my name on it. I want to find out more. It might mean this week that we say yes by saying, I am going to try to pay attention to all the ways that that holy appearance of hope, the invitation, the nudges that are coming, and recognize those as invitations from God. If you would like, and one of the ways that we do that around here sometimes is something to give you as a reminder. I had held up, and I'm going to see if I can go back to this. There it is. Forget the print. This pendant. I've got one on my key ring. I got them on my wall. I'd like you to have one. As you go out today, our greeters, have one. If you would like one that you can use and keep in mind, this is a reminder as we go into the weeks ahead, as we go into this year, that this is the invitation right here, that this is who I am. This is the invitation to become who I am yet to be because of Christ. It's on a ribbon. You can use it as a bookmark. I put mine on a keychain. Maybe you'll have a different place. If you would like that, by all means, please pick one up. If you are watching and you're wondering, how do I get one, you can come by the office. Or if you're out of the neighborhood, there is a way. Just email the office and just say pendant and put your mailing address on, and we'll mail one to you. We want people to have this. We want to do this together. There is also something on the webpage as you go to it, the homepage, that is, if you'd like, some weekly reminders about three times a week, short, concise, encouraging pieces to help further this and to keep this in front of us through in the Monday through Saturday world. You can do that. And again, if you're online, go to the homepage. There will be something that says, next steps, and just send an email and say, people of hope, and you'll be on the mailing list, and you'll start getting that this week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. All of those things can help, and all those are part of a larger piece. If none of those make sense, maybe something else will. But here's the thing. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three, Paul says, but the greatest of those is love. That itself is an expression of hope. That there are things that abide, that there are things to give ourselves to. And regardless of what other steps we do, the one step of living into hope is to live and give ourselves in love. That in hope, and as a people of hope, that we would go out this week and love God with whatever we've got, heart, soul, mind, and strength. That as a people of hope, we go and we begin in new ways to love our neighbor as ourselves. And as we do, we close with the benediction that we close with often around here, which is out of Romans, that as you go, may the God of hope, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace. In believing, may you abound with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you've enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace and have a wonderful week.